Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the services of the First Baptist Church in Toulon. Before we begin our message this morning, there's a couple of things I'd like to share with you. For many of you, you're not aware that our church has a website. On the website, you will be able to find recent copies of the lessons from which the sermons are delivered each Sunday morning. Also, we have pictures that the children have done in Sunday school and other church activities. Also, you'll find the complete history of the church, as well as some very old pictures of some of the original members of the church from over 100 years ago. Also, on our website, we have our church records from 1848, when the church was established, until 1913. So if you'd like to search the website for names of relatives or those that might have lived in this area years ago, you're welcome to do so. The website address is very simply FBC Toulon, FBCToulon.com, FBCToulon.com. Also from that website, you will be able to access about 3 months' worth of messages in MP3 files. For those of you that are very familiar with computers, MP3 files are something that you're very familiar with. You're able to download these files and keep them, or you're able to listen to them using a multimedia player. Also, if at any time you would like, we have these messages available on a CD. One of the interesting things that you'll find is that you don't even need a computer to play these CDs. Many of your DVD players now have the ability to play MP3 files. And so you can order all of the sermons for a 6-month period and play them on your DVD player as you please. This morning our message is about how that God is in the process of changing us to be like His Son. And of course that will not be complete until the day when Jesus Christ returns. When He returns, we shall see Him as He is, and we will be like Him. So the title of message this morning is Being Made Like Him. Before the message this morning, our choir has a special for us, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Oh,
scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, and we will begin reading in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Well, it starts when we're just a few minutes old. You remember that? No, you don't. Victoria tells me all the time. She remembers that when she was born. But it starts when you were just a few minutes old. As soon as someone from the family sees you, the first thing they ask is, who do they look like? Oh, yes, she looks like her mother. Oh, yes, he looks like his father. And that continues on through the rest of our life, doesn't it? People say, well, you know, she looks like Aunt so-and-so. And I have a brother that's 14 years older than me. He looks so much like me that one time he had a picture, an older picture, and he held it up and he said, who is that in this picture? And I said, well, that's me. And then he took his thumb away from the picture, and I was under the thumb. And he was the one that I thought was me. So we have these family resemblances, don't we? This morning we want to talk about a family resemblance to Jesus Christ. You see, if we are children of God, then we ought to be like somebody in the family. As a matter of fact, God's purpose is to make us like Jesus. Did you get that? Some people have the idea that your purpose in life is that God would make you wealthy and healthy and everything would go fine and you never have any problems. Well, folks, if you thought that, you must think God is a terrible failure. Because we don't have that, do we? You see, God's purpose for our life is to fashion us to be like Jesus. And as one fellow said one time, he said you have to do a lot more than grow long hair and wear sandals to be like Jesus. It takes a lot more than simply appearing like Jesus. It's much more involved in that. Now we notice the first thing, and we're going to look primarily at verse 2 today. Last week we talked about love, and actually there was one point of the message that I never got around to. And it's the idea that, you know, that God loves us, not only intellectually, not only emotionally and sacrificially, but God loves us communally. He wants to be with us. That blows my mind. That blows my mind that the one who said, let everything be, and all of a sudden it was there, that He wants to be with me. He wants me to be with Him. In Jesus' great intercessory prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, He said, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. Isn't that a marvelous thought? To me, that is marvelous that God would want us to be with Him. Especially when, you know, in this life, most people say, oh no, He's not coming by again, is He? You know, sometimes people, we wear out our welcome. But anyway, the first thing I want us to look at in this verse is it says, behold, now are we the children of God. Now, we've talked about all that from a little bit of different aspect, but I want you to understand that the promises and the blessings that it's talking about in this verse are for one particular group of people. It's for the children of God. And not everybody is a child of God. As a matter of fact, in these verses, He talks about two different groups. He says that we are the children of God and the world does not know us because it did not know Him. That's another message for another day. But the point is that there are two groups. There are the Christians, there are the children of God, and then there is the world. And the two are not congruent with one another. The two do not mix with one another. He said, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. We cannot expect
that the world would know us. And the blessings and the promises that we find in the Scripture are for God's children. They are not for the world. And the promises that God has given us, they're for God's children. We need to realize that. And then he says, we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. You realize in the Bible that there are mysteries? I counted in Paul's epistles this morning that Paul uses the word mystery 17 times in his letters. 17 times Paul talks about mysteries. Now, we like mysteries. Mystery books and mystery shows on TV. Because what does a mystery involve? A mystery involves something that you don't know, but usually if you read the book, you're going to find out by the time you get to the end, right? A mystery of God is something that He hasn't revealed to us yet, but He will. He's going to. And John says here, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He shall be revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now there's a mystery. The mystery is that everything is not how it appears. As we sat here this morning, we appear to be physical beings. And so we are. Physical beings. We have fears. We have anxieties. We have troubles and trials. We have sicknesses, illnesses. We get hungry. We get tired. We get cranky. Some of you get cranky quite often. But anyway. But the point of it is that we're physical beings. Now, we understand the physical, don't we? We comprehend the physical because it is something that we cannot escape. It is a part of us, and it is something that we deal with every day. The aches, the pains, and all the rest of that. The physical. But we all, as Christians, understand that we are also spiritual beings. Spiritual beings. Now, that is a mystery to the world. And that's the reason why in our day and age, there is a tremendous emphasis upon the spiritual. You have to realize that those people that want you to call up and they will tell you your future, the psychic hotline, they don't do that because they're funded by some great foundation that's pouring millions of dollars in so they can make these advertisements. They have people who are calling. I remember when I used to work at Alcoa, there were this one person and they would go every day or every week when all the tabloid papers would come out and they'd buy every one for the very purpose that they wanted to read the astrology page. We are a spiritually minded people because it is a what? Mystery. People desire to know what is not known. John says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. So I can't tell you everything that there is about it. But there are several things that we do know. There are several things that we can find out. Because a mystery is not something that we will never know. Now, you've heard this verse a lot of times, but I'm going to read the whole thing to you. Because you've only heard the first part of this verse, okay? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You ever heard that verse? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, we've all heard that. What does the next verse say? I don't have it in my notes, so I'm going to have to look it up. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to notice that for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. You see the idea of what he's saying there is that the things of God they're a mystery. The Greek philosophers and the great thinkers have tried to search out these spiritual things. But they've come up what? Empty. Because naturally, it will never enter into man's heart. It will never enter into us naturally the things that God has for us. The only way to get that is for God's Spirit to teach you, to reveal those things to you. So there is a mystery, but God intends to let us know what that mystery is. And then he says, but we know that when he is revealed, when he is revealed. I like that because of the fact it tells me something. It tells me he is going to be revealed. Do you know that Jesus is coming back? You say, Pastor, I've heard that ever since I was this high. And so far, he hasn't. Are you sure he's coming back? I'll tell you what. I'm not as sure that the sun will rise tomorrow as I'm sure that Jesus is going to return. He said, I will come again. The angels, as they saw Jesus ascending into heaven, they said to the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here? The idea is you're still standing here. You're still doing nothing. Why are you standing here looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same manner as you've seen him go in Acts chapter 1. Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, folks, I tell you, in this life, there are a lot of questions, there's a lot of mysteries, there's a lot of problems, and sometimes we get in despair. You ever been in despair? You ever been depressed? You ever been downhearted? Well, that's part of the physical, isn't it? You need to realize that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when He comes again, things are going to change. There's going to be a change for the good. And so He says, we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Now, John doesn't say, and let me tell you exactly what that's going to be, because he's already told us that we don't know. But he does say that we do know that when He returns, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When Jesus Christ returns, Paul says, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall all be changed. You heard about the nursery at this certain church. They had the little scripture verse from 1 Corinthians 15 that says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Well, we will not all sleep. We're not all going to die, but we are all going to be changed. We're all going to be transformed. When Jesus Christ returns, we're going to be with Him, and we will be like Him. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, I can't explain all that to you. If John couldn't explain that to you, then I certainly can't explain to you. But I have an idea that that's good. What do you think? I have an idea that that's good. We're going to have a body like the body of Jesus Christ, resurrected body. You remember that day, 3 days after Jesus had been crucified, the disciples are all scared to death. They're in the upper room. They've got all the doors and windows shut because they're afraid that they're coming to get them. And suddenly, Jesus appeared to them right there. And after He'd revealed Himself to them, He was gone. Friday, I got in my car and I drove to Springfield. Last night, I drove back. Isn't that wonderful? Travel is wonderful, isn't it? No, it's not. Just think. You want to be someplace and you be there. We're not going to have pains and sorrows, no troubles. We're going to be like Him. But I think there's something more involved in that. When He returns personally and physically, we are going to be like His resurrected body, but also we are going to have His mind. You see, that's where we really struggle today, isn't it? Someone wrote a book called The Battle for the Mind. God wants to influence our mind, influence our heart. That's where the battle takes place. It's a battle for the mind. But when Christ comes back, His mind will be my mind. It should be now. Paul wrote, and he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let your thoughts be the thoughts that Jesus would have. Let your desires be the desires that Jesus would have. Let your passions be the passions of Jesus Christ. Let your attitude of life be that of Jesus. And folks, I haven't arrived yet. Paul said, I've not attained. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. And instantly, in a moment, we're going to be changed and we will be like Him. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 3:21, He says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Our body's going to be changed. That's great. You know that? But you know, in the last verse that we read, it says, "He that has this hope in himself purifies himself." In other words, if we have this desire that and this goal that we know that someday we're going to be like Jesus, if we know that, he says, then we're working at it right now to become like Jesus in this life. We need to realize that when we are changed, when we are like Him, it will change everything about us. He says it will change this vile body. You see, this body has a problem. And that is, we have pride. We have envy. We have jealousy. We want to think of ourselves more highly than we should. We want to think of ourselves before we do others. We want to take care of number one. But when Christ comes, that's all going to be changed. And folks, that will be a good change. I've struggled since I became a Christian a long time ago with all of those things. But when Christ returns and I become like Him, there will be no struggle any longer. There will be no envy. There will be no jealousy. There will be no anger because they didn't treat me right or because they said that to me. We get our feelings hurt over the littlest things, don't we? We make the biggest deal of the littlest stuff. That's why all couples need to go to this thing for Sunday school. I'll give you an illustration. After you've had a spat, I don't know, maybe spat is a small word. After we've had a spat, 9 times out of 10, I bet you can't remember what it started over. Because what it started over was so insignificant that it was not worth remembering to start out with. It's how you responded to that insignificant thing. And the reason why you responded that way about that insignificant thing was because it was done to you and they were not appreciating you. They were not doing what they should to you. And you see, where does that come from? It comes from pride. And when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be gone. All the things that afflict us will be gone. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, this is not a New Testament doctrine. It's found clear back in the Old Testament. Job. If you don't realize this, Job was probably the first book that we have in our Bible that was written. It was probably written during the time of Abraham, a long time before Moses came along to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Job says in Job 19:26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," in other words, after my body has decayed away, he says, "yet in my flesh I shall see God." It's for the children of God. Paul says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord." Now, what brings this all about? We don't have time to dwell on this. But you know what brings this all about? We shall see Him. Now, you know, that's not a really big deal to you and me. Some said, "Did you see me the other day? I saw you, I waved at you, you didn't see me." And one of two things. Either you saw them and you just didn't want to see them, or you really didn't see them. One of the two. But it's not a big deal, right? You need to understand it's a big deal to see God. It's a big deal to see God. There was a man who was very close to God. His name was Moses. Moses said, "I want to see you." God says, "Moses, you can't see me and live." God says, "Moses, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in this little cave here, and I'm going to pass by you, and as I pass by, I'm going to cover you with my hand so that you can't see me. And after I've passed by, I'm going to remove my hand, and all you're going to see, in the King James Version, it says his hind part. The after glory of God. That's all Moses was able to see. And you know what? When Moses came down off of the mount, he scared everybody half to death because his face shined like a light. And he had to put a veil on his face to keep from scaring the people to death. Folks, when we see Jesus as He is, it is going to be transformational. It is going to change us. It is going to, Paul says, strip away this vile body, and we will have a body like Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we would realize that if you could see Jesus today in your own mind and in your own heart, it'll change you. You don't need to wait to get to heaven to be like Jesus. If you contemplate and search out and find, you'll find that if you'll look for Jesus, you'll find Him. And when you do, it'll make a change in your heart and in your life.
Yes, Jesus can make a difference. Jesus can make a difference even in your life. It doesn't make any difference where you are, and it doesn't make any difference where you've been. It does not make any difference what you've done. Jesus Christ is able to change your life. He is in the life-changing business. The biggest problem is not that Jesus is not able to change us, nor is the biggest problem that He doesn't want to change us. The biggest problem is that you and I have a problem. We do not want to be changed. Many people have the idea, first of all, that they don't need to be changed. They're all right. They're good enough. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just everybody else that's all messed up. Other people realize that they need change, but they don't think it's possible. They think that they've been that way for such a long time, that they have faced those situations and those difficulties, and they've failed so many times that there is no use in even trying anymore. They just go through life accepting life as it comes to them, not realizing that Jesus Christ can make a difference. If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Savior, let me tell you, He can make a change in your life. He made a change in mine. He's made a change in many people that I know personally. Jesus Christ changes your life because what He does is, first of all, He shows you where you've gone wrong. And if you'll admit that you've went wrong, if you will admit that you've sinned, and you will put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you will repent, claiming Jesus Christ as your Savior and your guide, then He can make that change in your life. We want to thank you for being with us this morning and listening. You have been listening to the services of the First Baptist Church in Toulon. Our worship service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Sunday school follows at 11. We also have various Bible studies and prayer services during the week. You'd be welcome to be a part of any of our services at any time. For more information, give us a call, 286-4611. May God be with you this week as you follow Jesus Christ.